Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for putting up with me on the phone today. I just needed a dose of grandkids in this upside-down world. I just needed something totally normal, like hanging out on a playground with kids. I just can't help but yesterday start contrasting against this upside down world. It's insane. It's just, we've lost our collective minds. It's not okay to recount votes unless, of course, we need to recount votes for a Democrat that lost. I get that's the news. I get that apparently Operation Hurricane didn't really help us get a virus because it's Donald Trump's program. And these things are upside down. Coronavirus busting out all over. The governor's in trouble from the left and the right. He should have done more here. He's doing too much there. Everything's backwards. The stock market hit an all-time high amidst this chaos. Kind of confused? Don't blame you. Oh, it's rational, and we'll talk about that quite a bit in the second hour. It probably will continue. Seriously. Markets do that. But in this, all this emotion of upside down world tosses everybody. We can't get a handle on what we're supposed to do. It's at all-time highs, and I hear everybody say, it's too high. It's just too high. I heard it yesterday. I heard it the day before. It's all too high. It's too high. It's too high. I got to take some off the table. I don't know what's going to happen. It's frantic. I can't believe it. Isn't it going to crash with Biden? Isn't that going to happen? All that. All plays into it. Just turn the volume up. Listen a little longer, deeper into the night, and get totally warped. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's a very emotional time anyway. Your world's upside down. I feel like I'm lucky I got to travel, right? I mean, the restrictions are coming. That's the feeling, right? Joe and company, it's what they came in to do, is shut her all down. I don't think they will. Now, guess what? Pressure's on. They get to govern. They get to decide. They get the penalties of shutting down a vibrant economy. Don't think they will. Market doesn't think they will. The importance of pulling back cannot be overstated. It's an intense time. Yeah, you can always hold out hope, but here's the reality. President Trump did the most amazing job ever. Ever. And he's one of the most polarizing, unlikable people ever. All about him, and it wore people out. And the media couldn't get over it. And the media is just nothing more than a dog. They're pathetic. Love the Democratic Party. Love progressivism. They don't do their job, haven't done their job for years. But in particular, they amped it up. And it probably did him in. But the effectiveness of what happened, lowest unemployment rate amongst minorities, that's right there. It's coming back. It's right there. And assuming we'll keep the Senate, and I believe we will, they can't destroy everything. Now, you can have lots and lots of regulations. That'll add dirt to the engine. It'll rust it out. I get it. But we can take it. It'll be a little slower growth, but without tax increases, massive tax increases, massive new Green New Deals and Medicare for all that we can't afford, new regulations on businesses, without the Senate, they can't do that. We're going to be okay. We're going to roll. And it hurts. It hurts, I know, on an emotional level to feel this way. But I'm not here to tell you that this is great, that America's in better shape without Donald Trump, because that's not true. Sometimes voters just want things to stop, or they think they do. But when it comes to our emotions, it has nothing to do with the market. And you think it does, because we feel so deeply. It feels so wrong, it can't be right. It can't be right that we're going to be okay when justice hasn't been served. And it hasn't. When we have a truly corrupt president, it doesn't feel right. But it has nothing to do on a simplistic level with how many iPhones are going to be sold next year. How many Google searches are going to get done? How many trips people are going to take? Nothing to do with that. We're moving forward. And that's why the market, the S&P 500, just yesterday hit an all-time high. All-time high. It doesn't feel like that. But that doesn't matter what your emotions are about an upside-down world. People in lockdown can't see grandma. People won't go see their grandkids, or the grandkids say, or the kids say, no, we're afraid. What are you afraid of? I want to see my grandkids. No, can't come. It happens, and it's a sad thing, and it really is, and there's tragedies, and I get it. There's people that are 50 years old that really struggle with this. But that's tiny. It's a tiny number of people. It's the old. And we're learning how to treat it. That's what the market's telling you. The market's not happy about Biden. It's happy the election's over, yeah. It's happy about a vaccine. It's ecstatic about a vaccine. You want to see what happened in the market? Just look. Actually, the NASDAQ was down last week. Did you know that? Big tech, the big beneficiaries of lockdowns, were down last week. Cruise lines, things like that, they were flying last week. Flying, because we're coming back with a vaccine. And we will. It's coming. Now we can look at it, it'll take this long or that long, and how many people are going to die or how many infections, all those things. I get it. That's what news does. Doom and gloom, day in and day out. That's how all the pimps work too, right? Got to buy gold, equity indexed annuities. Why? Fear. That's how they all work. So does news. All on fear. If they didn't scare you, you wouldn't listen. So they do. But once again, bottom line, this has nothing to do with the great corporations of the world. Or at the very least, very little. Or very most, very little. Very little. That's why the market's hitting all-time highs. It also wants to do this. I got to take a break. But it also wants to do this to prove most people wrong all the time. right? I'm just going to put my cash to the sidelines till this election thing's over. Then I'll come back and prices will have collapsed. How'd that work out for you? How does it ever work out? Doesn't. We really need to learn to quit gaming this and letting our emotions run. Our pride, our arrogance. I know what's going to happen. X, Y, and Z. And you don't. You don't get it right. If you get that right, you don't get the market's reaction right. Too complex. That's the reality of it. All right, I got to take a quick break. You know, it's amazing when you think about the speed of this virus. I'm sorry, vaccine. Coming. It really is amazing what President Trump allowed to happen by getting government out of the way. How many people, unfortunately, would have died otherwise? And it's his handling of the coronavirus that mostly, right, that's going to lose the election. Ironic. Misreporting, I guess, doing it over and over again, people believe it. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at. You know, I want to touch on something here as we close out this hour, and then I'm going to come back and talk some more about it. It's one of those things that we never can fully comprehend because we think linear. We just can't think exponentially. We just can't. We forget about what technology does to solve problems, to push back life expectancies. Because we think linear. We just think, well, we'll live a little bit longer than our parents will. We really can't until we take a step back and understand something that, you know, 100 years ago, people lived to be about 40, 45 years old. That's kind of exponential that people are living to 80, many to 100. We can't wrap our minds around the idea that we're going to cure cancer, Alzheimer's, heart disease. What that might mean and what that might look like with new stem cells, for example, to regenerate so we don't feel 100 years old when we are 100 years old. Hard to wrap our minds around that, right? But when you think about where technology and genetics have gone over the past few years, the costs, the speed, everything, it's a really stunning speed of development. And wrapping our minds around this is really important to understand that it took years and millions of dollars, billions of dollars, to map the first genome. Now they do it in hours for $100. That means everybody is going to have this. And that's exponential. A billion down to hundreds of thousands and years to days to hours to minutes. We think a little bit faster and a little bit more, not exponentially. Very tough to do. But critically important when we're trying to weigh out all the doom and gloom. And how quickly things have changed. We were told a vaccine would take years, and it did. It didn't this time. How about next time? How fast will that be? So when we think about that and think about the recovery in the market, I'll talk more about this. It really isn't that hard to believe when we think forward and look forward. All right, obviously you can hear that music. I'm out of here for a quick break for Fox News. When we come back in the second hour, we want your phone calls, 580-PIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. hour number two upcoming, and I appreciate you listening. We want to hear from you. And I first of all want to say that, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only, and they are not this station. We're not going to talk about individual stocks to buy and sell. When we talk about them, it's an example. That's all. It's an example. Because owning stocks is the simplest, easiest, honest thing you can do and get rich. And you don't need to own even individual stocks at all. You don't even need to pick a stock. You don't have to do a thing. And trading now is free. I'm not sure how it gets away from it. And I get this question all the time about, you know, should I be doing gold? Or Dave, is there really a way to get the market participation and have no downside? You know, I get frustrated like every human being that believes in any justice or laws and rule of law and not being able to exaggerate things that aren't true, full disclosures, things like that. But that's just the rules we're under right now. If people don't have securities licenses, they're not certified financial planners, they're not fiduciaries, they only have an insurance license, then they can say pretty much whatever they want. Pretty much. And they do. So I'm sorry about that, but I can't stop people from, if they just want to believe, they want to dive in fear, and they want to believe that there's something out there that allows them to never go down. But if the market goes up 20%, they're going to get that. Or even a decent part of that. How about 2%? Two. And the only reason that anybody would do this is fear. The only reason somebody would put a pretty brick in their safe is fear. It's all fear-based. For your whole life, market goes up 10% a year. I don't want that. I want two. I want a definition of you taking my money, pay a high commission. I can't get it for 10 years without a huge penalty. And for the first several years, if I get it, I get back less than I put in. Unbelievable, really. And by definition, I will get less than two. Because when the market goes down, I get zero. Yay me. Better than going down. And when the market goes up 20%, which it does, and I'll talk to you in a moment here about that, you get two, because that's what the caps are now. Insurance companies can't make any money because you can't make any money on your cash deposit, can you? That's how they make money. Two. That's why these things are not available through decent human beings, honestly, to be very frank. You can't buy them from a decent human being. Somebody that's a fiduciary, has a securities license, certified financial planner, they don't sell this garbage. Can't. You have to disclose the actual facts. Oh, I get paid 10% commission, and you can't get your money out, and you do not have market participation, only up to 2%. That's the truth. And nobody would buy that without fear. But that's what we live in this world of over stimulation of our thought. We're angry. We're frustrated. I can't believe the injustice of this or that. Me either. But I have to control that when it comes to investing. I have to control that in my own life too, to the best I can, which sometimes means just literally pulling away, dialing it back, walking off. Because otherwise, we can't see the big picture. How old are you? Don't care. Rate of return is 10%. Well, but what about the tech crash in 2000? Include that. What about the 73 and 4 meltdown? What about the 20% interest rates Jimmy Carter had? What about the hyperinflation? What about the coronavirus? What about the Great Recession? What about the stock market crash? Yeah, all that. All that. It's all in there. It's 10. That's the good and the bad and the ugly. It's the WorldComs and the Enrons. It's the Googles. It's the Apples. All of them. All of them. You don't have to own a stock. You can own the market and have done that. But the market doesn't do normal, and we think linear, like I talk about all the time. 10 looks like this little chart of 10. It's not. It never does 10. It does more than 10 and less than 10, and sometimes loses money. Two-thirds of the market years, three-fourths basically in recent times, 3 out of 4 years the market's up. 1 out of 4 it's down. Only about 5% of the time is it anywhere near 10%. 5%, 1 in 20 years. 1 in 20 years is between 8% and 12. But it averages 10. But it plays with your head and your emotions and your fears and all those charlatans out there. They play on that. Oh, you don't want to be in the Wall Street casino, do you? You don't want to do that. You don't want to get rich. No, no. You want me to get rich. And it goes on. Because we're afraid all the time. And they prey on that. Instead of assuming and understanding that what has changed about Apple when it was at $130 a share or it's $100? Did they sell less phones? Are they going out of business? Is their business dying? Is there less stuff being sold through their apps? No, none of that. It's absolutely normal, certain to occur over and over again all the days of your life. Movement in price, not in value. The company just doesn't reflect that much of a change day to day. But the market does. And that's the beauty of it. And when it goes down, nobody wants to buy, but you say you want to buy, but you don't. Well, I'd love to buy Apple at 20% discount. Well, you've had multiple opportunities to do that. Every year, by the way. People don't. Because what happens when the market has a normal correction? It looks terrible. And the news comes on, and then we need another special report at 6 o'clock at night about how the market is in meltdown. It's chaos out there. And then you get to have lots and lots and lots of radio shows and ads, and you get flyers in the mail about, oh, my gosh, you got to keep it all safe. You got to keep it all safe. Get out of the casino, man. And it plays on us, and it plays on you. Don't kid yourself. We all do. It's hard to grab those emotions and hang tough. Let me tell you what the market does. It doesn't do normal. It goes down about once every 4 years. Sometimes a little, sometimes a lot. Most of the time, just a little. Very rarely does it go down a lot. But when it does, it's world-ending, and boy, are we going to hear about it on our cell phones, on our TVs. I don't know if there's newspapers much anymore. Just old people like me read them. You get the point. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I don't have enough time to recover from that because I'm like 70 years old now. I can't recover from another one of those. You hear it all the time. And it steers us away. Shouldn't I be taking profits now? When has there ever been a time to take profits in the market? 10% a year, all your life. Market always goes to all-time highs. We forget that. In between, we have opportunities to add to our positions, move them around a little, buy some better things, because the world's changing. But basically, owning stocks, 10% a year, but you never get 10, right? We get an occasional loss, once every 4 years. And we get occasional huge monster gains, 30, 40, 50%. Very rare. Most of the time, actually, believe it or not, the market does a lot, more than 10%. Most of the time, that's your return. That's the biggest bulk of returns. Do you know that the market, 24% once every 4 years, basically, right? One in 4 years is more, is between 10 and 20%. Okay? Not more than 10, because more than 10 is 50% of the time. Half the time, the market does more than 10. I mean, sometimes by a lot more, like 20%. Oh, yeah, it's done that. Well, I mean, lots of times. How about more than 20% just in recent years here, just recently? 2013, 19. Of course, 2009 coming out of the big sell-off. 2003, of course, coming off of that sell-off. In 95, 97. That's more than 20. Not more than 10. In recent years, of course, that includes 2012, 10, 14, and 17. You see, it doesn't do normal. It doesn't plant itself at 10. Of course, sometimes it earns less than 10, like in 2016, when it earned 8. It's almost never 10, and we don't understand that. It only goes down once every 4 years. But that's so frightening, and I don't have time to recover. And I know, but what does that have to do with the company's ability to pay its dividend, its income, to you? Nothing. The dividend doesn't, for Apple, is paid X number of dollars per share, per quarter, which they raise very dramatically every year. And of course, it's not guaranteed to do that every year. It just does. And it really doesn't care if its stock price is 100 or it doesn't change the income. And that's why stocks are the most amazing income story that's never told. But when we get hung up on the price of the market, or it's not coming back, or we just watch too much news, or we listen to the wrong people. I'm being generous. If that's what you insist on doing, go get your free steak. Get a sales pitch. Get good and scared. All I can say is that's going to be the most expensive steak you've ever bought. Depends on how much money you have and whether it either, A, no, don't worry, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go into one of those. But they scared me enough to stay out of the good investments. How much does that cost you? If you do happen to deflect this beautiful, amazing pitch. Remember, all they do is talk about one thing. That's solving problems. One pitch, one product fits all. You don't think they get pretty good at scaring you, convincing you? Oh, they're good. Oh, they're good. I'm called every week to go to a training program about how to use a radio show to pitch an equity indexed annuity. Every week, multiple calls. It's a marketing machine on fear. We have to understand that things are not normal day to day. We think linear. We need to think about technology, exponential growth, creative destruction, and the simple fact that this works, and it works really well for the average person. All you got to do is be in and turn the noise down. Because I, for one, need it too. I need to hear little kids laugh. I need a hug like you. Because there's nothing like 2020. There's just nothing like this that I can remember. It wears us out. It makes us afraid. It's just plain old killing us. We're almost to the end, and we're going to get out, and we're going to have a vaccine. And you're going to live, only to die of something else, I know. But we're going to get through this. Let's not make our financial decisions on the emotions of today. Thank you again. Thanks again for joining us. Our number, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. What's happening?
Good morning. I'm hanging with grandkids. That's what's happening.
That's good.
It's all good.
Two things I was going to say. It's like, you know, you go after the snake oil salesman, and there have been a snake oil salesman since day one, annuities, et cetera. However, The old adage, let the buyer beware, and P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute. So it goes back to the person, the victim, as you might call them. It goes back to them.
Yeah.
And one thing on technology, in my humble opinion, you know, I'm so great. I mean, I've got every Apple product in the world. And, of course, the apples that I eat go into my digestive system and make me healthier. But technology, to a large extent, I dare say, robs kids, people, of their imagination and their self-reliance. Now, what happens when the technology goes off? They're up a creek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, I think to a high level, too, it's, I think for many of us, I don't know, I'm not going to try to put an exact age barrier on that, but maybe 30-year-olds and up, technology is fantastic because we learned to use our imagination. We learned to interact with people. We didn't need to be stimulated every second of every day. We were okay with our own thoughts because we had to be.
Right.
And now technology is this amazing thing we can use. I too, am very concerned about the children, and my grandkids, if you will. And I love the way my kids keep the screens away, you know, and only limited times, because they need to learn and tap into that. And I think we are learning that as a society. And I know there's a lot of snowflakes in this world. It's frightening, you know, and how little people think and really learn to think. Even if they go to college, they don't really learn to think as deeply as I think the real world does. But, and I think technology can slow that down because we just get our answer, but we really don't think about the answer.
Well, you know, the thing is, the interesting thing about it is, and I'm not anti-education, but colleges, universities prepare one to apply for a job, to fill out an application and say they've got this, you know, this degree. So when I was a kid, my parents, this was in the 50s, my parents gave me this book called How to Do Nothing with Nobody All Alone by Yourself. And it was how to, you know, be creative and come up with little toys you could make from around the house. Nary a one of them included a battery. And so anyway, I mean, it was great and all that kind of thing. So I don't know.
Well, it is, and I think we're learning that you can't put kids in front of a screen all day. I think we'll work our way through. So I get concerned about it with my grandkids, but at the same time, I also see some fantastic things where they are learning faster when they're given direction. You know, but why don't you use the screen to do this, like math problems, things like that.
That's the thing in today's world, though. I mean, they're saying, you know, you put a kid alone without a teacher, you know, remote learning in front of a screen, it just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. It does not. We're discovering that, and that's a whole different topic. You've heard me rail about that. I don't think we need to shut these kids in, and I think it's a bad decision. for school districts. And, you know, it's if the teachers are in that much danger, then I suppose we need to shut the stores, all of them. I don't think Walmart is immune to actual human beings coming in contact with human beings. That only occurs in a school, I guess. But we have to shut everything. And kids simply are not affected by this. They are not. And they're more affected by comets and lightning strikes. So I don't want to dismiss the idea that one or two children have died from this, but it really is not anywhere near the numbers that die of everything else. So so protecting them from that and not the flu makes no sense. So again, I'm with you on that. I don't understand it. I think that that's a priority, and I don't know why overdoses, home violence, those things really aren't COVID deaths. I don't get it.
What's interesting is there's the circle of life, you know. I mean, people do have to die so that other people can come along and be born. And the fact that Social Security can't even support everything, we're going broke, and yet with technology, we're trying to get people to live forever. So it's kind of a contradiction there.
Well, it is, but of course we're going to do that. I want my dad to keep living.
Well, yeah,
and
but
I do
mean, that can't happen. I mean, it's life. It's the way with creation, you know?
I know, but we're living twice as long as we did 100 years ago, so there you go. All right, I got to roll, Jim.
Take care.
And
bye-bye.
We're going to keep pushing it back. Have a good day. All right, we got to take a break here for Fox News, and when we come back, we'd love your phone calls. Terry, you're up to bat next. Terry, thank you for hanging on.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
You know, I always had an aphorism that used to say 100 years ago we'd all be dead. Quit worrying about it.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you're right. We would all be dead. We are all dead from 100 years ago, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, the zero hedge always says over a long enough timeline, or everybody's life expectancy is exactly zero.
Mm-hmm. So that's true.
But the best thing you can do is teach them grandbabies how to tell each other stories.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right. And I we talked about that yesterday. I was talking with my daughter yesterday, of course, at the playground, little ones running around, and it's like, you know, it's really hard because everything's a fact. Do you remember story problems and trying to learn that? Because we're actively talking about that all the time at the office. How do we think? And how do we get new people coming in to think and think differently? I used to say it this way, flip the coin over and look at the other side. When we sometimes look back at a reflection, we can see it differently. And I think that's just important to be thinking things through in a multidimensional way. We don't.
Right.
I can think of any way. And I'm wondering, as a society, why we haven't come up with better ways to teach kids to think.
Well, you know, back in the old days when you used to have to take debate class, you have to prepare both sides of the argument. So you'd have to look at everybody else's idea.
Maybe that's exactly what you need to do, is to get all the kids to take debate. That's a thinking thing right there. Good point. Good point.
Yeah, well, I never was able to do that. That's why I went in the military. So,
yeah, good.
But I did have a sort of money question for you.
Yep. Fire away.
Lately, my credit union—I haven't dealt with a bank in 40 years. But lately, my credit union merged with another credit union, and are financial institutions needing to get more? I don't even know what. Economy of scale, they need to glom more and more people in together in order to keep making money or to stay open?
They do. There's no doubt. And the biggest problem for that is regulation. You have to hire so many, if you will, regulatory folks, from attorneys on down to file all the paperwork, especially for banks and financial institutions. They have to get bigger in order to spread those costs. And that's why you're going to continue to see the small banks, right, the community banks, if you will, continue to merge into bigger, you know, if you will, regional, or at least get to a size that they can handle all of the cost of regulation. That's not going away. It's now, especially with the elections here, going to get worse. Because that's controlled out of the Treasury and things like that, which is the administration. So that's not legislative. You know, I mean, I know Dodd-Frank was a disaster, and that was legislative. But also, look how much of Dodd-Frank has been undone on the regulatory side, especially by this administration. And so it's been undone on the regulatory, meaning the administration, which is the executive branch, is going to tighten the screws or loosen the screws on these banks. Right now, it's going to go through a tightening phase again, and that's going to be more mergers in my mind because they have to have more scale to meet all those regulations.
Yeah, all those rich people doing self-defeating propositions by going political the way they did.
Yeah, it is. It's true. You know, it reminds me of, you know, the people just don't know. They don't know what they wish for. They don't know what they're going to get. And they just don't know what they're doing. But every nation gets the government they deserve because that's who we voted for.
Yeah. Well,
it's unfortunate, but true.
I'll tell you what, Professor, I got to go wash my compliance garment. So why don't you tickle the babies and then go have a Dungeness crab and tell me how good they are.
That's there you go. All right. You have a great day. Thanks for the call, Terry.
Same to you, Dave. Bye.
Okay, bye now. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. You know, I started off today talking about the emotions and how we feel so involved in the day-to-day noise that it clouds our judgment of how to invest. And we really want to keep it simple, not complex. The more we read about complex different products, complex different thoughts, complex different ways of trading, for example, the worse we do. And study after study shows that. The more you trade, the worse you do. The average investor is really horrifyingly bad. It couldn't be worse if they tried. Meaning, I read the news, it's bad, I'm out, type of reaction, okay? Seems logical, normal human reaction. If you will, I see a saber-toothed tiger, I need to get, you know, I need to be scared. Markets don't work that way. And unfortunately, humans don't usually learn. We're just driven by emotion. And we sometimes miss the big picture of how great things have gotten in our life. And you hear old curmudgeons like me talking about things like how great it used to be. Well, I remember when, yeah, I know, you were the star quarterback, blah, blah, blah. You know, we all were young studs at one time. We all knew so much stuff that we didn't know. We all faked it till we made it. And then we grow old and pine for those days. And talk about it as if cars were better. No, they might have been prettier, and you might have been able to figure out how to change the oil. But they weren't better or safer. Yeah, we talk about all those things as if, you know, we can turn the clock back. And it affects us so deeply about how we see the future of the world, of companies. And we just forget how much evolution of technology, of problem solving, is going on every single day. Unimaginable that we'd have a vaccine in 9 months. Unimaginable. But we do. Do you think it'll be quicker or slower next go around? Right. The good old days. Everybody just dies. The good old days. When it was much more dangerous to roam the world, it was. But they were the good old days. And it makes us realize or think wrong about what the future is going to bring, which is faster, better, much better. Frightening changes, I get that. It is. It's different. It doesn't make it bad. And when it comes to investing, we really have to grab that idea. I think it's the technology thing that makes it so hard for people to imagine progress at the pace we have. Or progress with the lunacy that goes on and the injustice that goes on in Washington, D.C., with all of, if you will, all of the dirt that's thrown in this amazing engine called America. You just throw it in. And how do we overcome that? I believe the technology has been the biggest driver for that. We just have to not get buried in the moment of bad news, the moment of injustice, the moment of despair. We need to see past that. Things go. They go left, they go right. But what doesn't change is that arrow in the middle that's leading to more, faster, better abundance for all. We don't even talk about it anymore. When's the last time you've seen a commercial of starving kids in Africa? Now we talk about dogs, right, that are out in the cold or whatever. Way more commercials about that. A billion people don't starve anymore. Yeah, no big deal. Here's what I'm worried about. We just and move on to what is wrong instead of thinking about what's right and where we're going. That's what's the problem in my mind when we sit back and we worry and fuss so much. Pull back. Turn it off. Dial it back. Is the only clarity I think we can find. We'd love to hear what we want to talk about what you want to talk about, answer questions, et cetera, for what you want to talk about. So feel free to shoot us an email. Love to visit with you and of course, love to get those questions. It's just amazing. I know what I was going to say too. And we're doing some Zoom, when we do our Zoom meetings now, we're putting those on YouTube. So just look at our Petso Financial if you want to. But also at PetsoFinancial.com, you've got your podcasts. And those usually get up by Tuesday. So feel free to look at those or listen to those if you missed something or you want to forward it to somebody that you want to get them to think longer term. How's that? We are caught in a very fearful time. And I don't want to be misunderstood about this, but I think it's important to understand. Politicians are people, too. They're like goalies. Okay? They're goalkeepers. Okay? And what do I mean by that? Well, they did a study, and, the goalie can't move on a penalty kick until the ball struck. So the goalie basically has to decide if that ball is going to go left or right, or straight. Because they can't react fast enough. It's not possible. It's just not possible. Bam, boom, it's gone. That's it. It's over. So when they studied it, they found, sometimes they dive left and they dive right. They almost never stood still. And when asked, because the goalies know, they have no chance of seeing where it's going before reacting. When asked why they dive left or right when standing still would be as effective, 1 in 3. They said you can't be seen doing nothing. You have to. You have to dive. It's their job. If they stood there, which is just as effective as diving left or diving right, they'd be doing nothing. So politicians today, must do something. You can't do nothing. It's like people with the market. They feel like they have to do something. Well, what are we going to do about the elections? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? Well, I think we should sit on our hands. Then I can't do that. Don't we need to trade? Don't we need to move? Shouldn't we be repositioning? No, not necessarily. Most of the time, no. So politicians have to do things. Maybe the right thing is to sit on your hands, but they have to do something. Maybe they're like, well, what are you going to do about the coronavirus? Nothing. What? You have to do something. No, we think it's best to let it run its course. You have to do something. You have to wear masks or tell people we're in phase 1, 2, 3, or 4. You have to do stuff. And you certainly, as a governor, president, whatever, you have to do stuff. Create task forces. You have to do those things. I get it. It doesn't mean they come up with right answers or answers you and I agree with. And when we look at this and we talk about schools opening or let's go remote again, and I just scratch my head because I think it's really important we understand these numbers. I know. If it's your kid, blah, blah, blah. Throw me out. I get it. But school-age kids that get the virus, and there's almost none that get it. But of the ones that get it, are you ready for this? 99.997% survive. 99.997%. Something like hundreds of times more kids commit suicide. Do you think that number is going up or not? I don't know. Gee, I couldn't possibly guess that being cooped up at home is going to make for more depression. Oh, yeah, they already have shown that. Those deaths don't count. So as we're having these discussions, understand this. Yeah, there's new regimes, and they have to do things. But I think in the end, we don't shut down again. And that's really important to our economy. It's really important to people, all people. It's not just money. It's important to people that their kids go to school. Or else we might as well just start building more prisons now. Might as well. 99.997% of school-age kids survive. What about the teachers? All right. 99.8% of all people. The flu is far more deadly. Sorry, but it is. But this isn't the flu. I get it. Totally get it. It's not. And it's a weirder disease. I totally get all that. We're going to keep the economy open, I believe. I really do believe that, which means we're going to keep growing like crazy in 2021 as we head back and the vaccines take effect. All right, keep your chins up, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it.
Money Matters from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, Certified Financial Planner Dave Pezzo. If you have questions, please contact Dave through the Pezzo Financial website. Replays of this program are also available under the Media tab.